Give your attention to our brother Glenn. My experience, he comes well prepared, and I expect no less from him this evening. And his messages are inspired and always give me inspiration and understanding. So, again, I ask for your prayers and your attention for our brother priest, Glenn Orsted.
Well, thank you, Ken. Good evening to each of you. Those of you here before me in the chapel and those watching through the live streaming or anyone who sometime in the future might be listening to the recording, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I put this up here as we're beginning, hopefully maybe kind of intrigue you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about this evening. Because the title for my sermon this evening is My Journey to Mystic Falls. Because I recently was able to take a hike into Mystic Falls, which is an incredibly beautiful waterfall in Colorado. It is something I have wanted to do for several years. And I recently was able to accomplish that. And having done so, while I was there and I was able to spend some time in that little canyon and the water flowing down into it, I realized that my journey to this waterfall in many ways paralleled my, and I imagine many other, each of you in our spiritual journey. And I contemplated it, and while I was there pondering some thoughts, another event occurred while I was there. They kind of solidified that, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, so you'll have to kind of wait for that. And as I was contemplating the message that I'd have for you this evening, knowing I'd have time to stand before you, I kept going back to some of my thoughts as I sat there in that little canyon and amazed by God's beauty and the wonders of His creation. And I realized that in the scriptures, Christ frequently used real life examples, even if the situation he's describing didn't really happen, but real situations that we can imagine in our temporal walk happening to apply them to spiritual concepts. And so that's what I'm going to try to do tonight. I'm going to start, I'm going to go through, and I'm going to tell you about my journey to Mystic Falls. And I say it because it really was a journey. There was a little bit more involved with this than just some place that you just decide, hey, I want to go and go do, because there's a little bit more involved in at least my getting there. And so as I proceed this evening, I am quite sure, a matter of fact, I hope I'd be disappointed if as I go along you don't think of some spiritual parallels. I encourage that. But first I'm going to go through kind of the story of how I came to be there and my experiences, and then I'm going to go back and make a comparison of our spiritual journey. Get rid of some of this lettering here, and it is all showing up well. Hopefully I don't have the clarity of the photo, but you can kind of idea there. It was several years ago when I first saw a photograph of this waterfall. And I was immediately taken with it. I don't know, there was just something about that waterfall. I've always liked waterfalls. It's amazing what I will go through, what I will hike through, climb over, under and around, just to go see water falling over rocks. Maybe not everyone quite shares that enthusiasm, but I think a lot of people, there's something about waterfalls that you can just kind of sit there and watch them and hear them, and there's something calming about it. I don't know what it is, but I know that I've always enjoyed some time sitting away from the cares and concerns of everyday life by a waterfall and relaxing. And so I've seen many waterfalls, but somehow there was something just really that struck me about this one when I first saw it. Maybe you when you look at it here. That narrow canyon, the trees along it, and I don't know, there's just something that struck me about it. And when I saw that photograph, I forget exactly where I saw it, but there wasn't a name of a photographer on it. There wasn't a location. I mean, it was just this photograph, and I couldn't find any information about it. It was just this photo. Just this little snapshot, this picture. I had no idea who had taken it. I had no idea where it's at. I didn't even know if it's in the United States. I have no idea where it was at. I didn't know the name of the waterfall. But I knew if there's any way possible, it's something that I wanted to see. It was something I wanted to experience. I wanted to go there. I didn't want to just see a picture. I wanted to experience it. Now, it didn't consume my life, but it's always kind of back in my mind. Periodically, I'd start running, you know, Google searches for waterfalls. I'm looking at these pictures, and nothing was coming up. I did finally find a couple other ones. That's obviously the same waterfall, but again, there wasn't any information with them. Nothing to tell me where it was at, who the photographer was. Maybe I could contact them to find out, you know, where is this waterfall? And finally, one day, I came across a photograph, and it was the same waterfall. And it had the name. It said it was Mystic Falls. All right, I've got something to work with now. I've got a name, Mystic Falls. Thought this would be simple. I'll just do a quick Google searching and find everything with Google, Mystic Falls, and I'm all set, or at least so I thought. I found numerous waterfalls under the name Mystic Falls, but they weren't this one. It seems it's a common name. There's a lot of waterfalls here in the United States and other places that are called Mystic Falls. Okay. I did find a couple of this, the same ones I'd seen before, that either had no information or said Mystic Falls, because I'm finding that in the search, but still not telling me where this is. And as I continued my research, I eventually find, as I said, there are several waterfalls that also have that same name. I also found there's several waterfalls in close proximity to this that people thought were this waterfall. Somehow they mistake it, and they were calling it Mystic Falls, but actually they were different falls. It was a completely different name. They didn't even have the correct name for it. And then finally, I found a photograph that told me it's in Colorado. It was this waterfall, so I know I've got it. It's Mystic Falls, and it's in Colorado. Well, of course, I'm immediately excited. Colorado, I can make it to Colorado. If it's their side of the world, it'd be more difficult. Colorado is doable. So this is moved up on my bucket list. This is my, maybe I hope that, hey, I can do this. And now some information of where it was, a general area, a name, and something to look for. Now I had more things for my search parameters, and I started finding some more information about it. And I was dismayed when one of the first things I came across that actually had some information was from this photographer who was cautioning everyone that you can't go there. It's on private property. You know, you can't access it. You know, it's on private property unless you contact the owners and all this stuff. And I was just, oh, well, maybe if I could figure this out. But then I found there, I said, no, it is not on private property. And so I started some research. I got out the old Google Earth, and I started looking out there, and I found it. Okay, I know where it's at. And I brought up maps, and I started searching and finding out. It is not on private property. It's on the National Forest. Okay. I can do this National Forest. You can walk around the National Forest. I can do this. It's accessible. And as I continued, what I found out the problem is there are several issues going on. I found that, first off, it's an incredibly beautiful, at the time, relatively unknown waterfall with more and more photographers. And now as I stand before you promoting it, there's more and more interest and more people are going there. And there are some people that don't want that. I understand that because as more people go, it tends to kind of get trashed and overrun. And so I kind of understand that. So there's some photographers and people have been there. They're trying to keep this hush-hush, and I understand that. But the other thing is that downstream, where this stream from the waterfall runs out there, is private property. And that is the easiest way to access the waterfall, is just to park down on the road there, out there, and follow the stream out. The problem is people are parking on private property. They're going across private property. They're breaking down people's fences and doing a lot of things they shouldn't be doing just to hike up the stream to see this waterfall. But the waterfall itself is in the National Forest. And it may be accessed completely through National Forest land. But it's more difficult. It requires driving on a primitive, unmaintained, narrow, rocky road. And then I read a few things talking about a short but steep climb down into the canyon. It's kind of an understatement to say steep, but I'd say extremely steep. But it's doable if you're prepared for it. It takes some preparation. You know, one of the things they're talking about this, you know, the primitive road, need a vehicle, good ground clearance, you know, something, four-wheel drive, don't need four-wheel drive. But I've got that covered. Those of you see what I mostly drive out there, I'm good. Okay, we got that part. I'm relatively decent shape. Hike not as much as I'd like to, but, you know, I think I could probably do this. And so I began my venture. And so I find this road very manageable. It's rocky. I definitely wouldn't want to take a passenger car through it, but certainly with a vehicle with good ground clearance. Narrow, you know, I have a few more scratches on the side of my vehicle, but that's okay. I want to take me places I want to go. And then you get there and go as far as the road can go. You park and you have this trail that initially is very easy. And then until you come to where you want to drop down into the canyon. And then, now bearing in mind, this is like at 9,000 feet, give or take a little bit. Actually, it's a little bit over 9,000 feet. You know, and I just arrived that day. And so I'm a city dweller down with this, nice, dense, fully loaded with particulates, thick, heavy air that I'm used to and accustomed to breathing, you know. And you get up there, and although the air may be clear, it's because there's nothing in it. There's no oxygen, you know. And it does take your toll. I mean, I'm used to that, but usually in a couple days you kind of acclimate, but I know, you know, I've just arrived. And I want to do some photography, so I've got my, you know, backpack on with camera gear and a tripod and water and, you know, and I try to be prepared for whatever's coming, a jacket and, you know, some munchies and stuff to take with me and everything. And I come to the out there a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm looking down. And I'm not sure if this is really, is this really worth it? And I had, you know, to consider. Bear in mind out there also that it had been raining for several days, so this is a wet, sloppy, muddy, slippery trail. But I decided to forage ahead. But before I go much farther, as I continue along that, I found it kind of interesting that, you know, when I first arrived, you come down this little road and there's this little kind of lines out, just area you could park a few vehicles where people have been parking vehicles. And when you first arrive there, there's a waterfall right there. Right where you stop, right there in front of you. A nice waterfall. It is one of the falls that I've seen frequently labeled as Mystic Falls, but it's not this fall. This fall, at least to me, is very distinctive. I'm not quite sure how anyone looking at this could think this other waterfall would be the same thing, but they do. And as I got there, there was a few people there taking their pictures and stuff of the waterfall, them in front of, you know, their selfies with the picture of their waterfall behind them, and it's good stuff, you know, and I'm getting all my stuff out and everything, and said a few greetings, hi, how are you doing, where are you from, all the usual stuff, the pleasantries and stuff, and they go, well, where are you hiking off to, I'm going to hike to Mystic Falls, and they go, well, just down to the bottom here, no, I'm going to hike to Mystic Falls, well, this is Mystic Falls, no, this isn't Mystic Falls, I said, well, yeah, it is. Now, I realized back in my mind, they may have well seen a photograph of this fall that said Mystic Falls, because I'd seen that. but I also know that that's inaccurate. And so I kind of explained a little bit to them. I said, well, this is a nice fall, but for a little bit of a hike, I mean, I've never been there. They say it's steep, and as I said, it is steep. You know, but anyways, you know, but there's another fall just past this one. There's also another waterfall up that way, and there's another fall over there. There's several right in that area, but this is the one I'm going to get to. And they, oh, okay. And so as I'm getting ready, they pack up their stuff and go driving off. Maybe always thinking they've been to Mystic Falls. It's all a nice waterfall, I'll grant you that. But anyways, so right off, you know, I can see, you know, that I don't know if they ever even saw. I don't know if they've ever even seen this photo of this waterfall. Maybe all they'd ever seen is the photo of that other waterfall. I don't know. I tried to explain it to them, but they were content with what they had with that waterfall, and they drove off as I start lumbering down. What happens is, basically, the stream's coming down. It kind of splits into two canyons, or not. They're maybe only 60 yards apart. I mean, Mystic Falls is very close to the other one. What you have to do is, from the parking area, you take this trail, and then you cross the stream that feeds that waterfall you can see from the parking area. Enough people have gone now. There's kind of a makeshift bridge. They put some boards and stuff across there, and so it's now an easy kind of crossing. And you cross that, and then you kind of go this fin that separates the two ones, and you come right across the top, you, very short distance out there, very quickly. You're to the top here, Mystic Falls, looking down on the canyon. But now you have to get down. I wanted anyways to get down and see it from the bottom. And so you hike this kind of this fin, this ridge between these two streams, and you have to go down to a point where, because right here, as you can look at these pictures, those are sheer rock walls. Unless you're going to do rappelling or something, you're not getting in there. But you have to go down a little bit farther where it's a little bit more accessible, still very steep. And so then you begin hiking down in there to get to the stream and then hike back upstream to the waterfall. So I began my trek, and you know, it's going down a little bit, and then it makes this turn where you kind of start these switchbacks kind of going down into the canyon. And I'd read several accounts from people who have been there, you know, in a few years past that said, you know, about there really there's no real trail. You have to kind of just kind of find your way and work your way down. But as it's become more popular through, you know, social media and these photographs and interests, such as myself being there, there's actually a pretty well-defined path now. But I make that first turn, and I look at how steep this is, and I, oh, boy. I should have brought some rope or something, maybe, you know, but I've come this far. I'm going to give it a shot. And I slipped several times. It's kind of unnerving when you're kind of looking down this canyon and you feel your feet starting to go out from underneath you. Because it's not only steep, it's slippery and wet, muddy. One time I actually completely fell down on to my posterior in contact with the ground. One time I just kind of slipped, but one time, all of a sudden I start to slip. And as I'm going down, I'm seeing, you know, this long distance that I might inevitably go. And there's a tree there, you know, not a real thick one, you know, one's just kind of growing, enough that I can get my hand around real quick. And I grabbed it. And where I grabbed it, there happened to be where there used to be a branch, and the little stub of it was sticking out, which is now sticking into my hand. And it hurt. My hand saying, let go. Now, my brain's analyzing this thing. I said, well, it's hurting my hand, but if I let go, I am going to hurt a whole lot worse. And so my brain says, hand, tough it out. Hold on. Hold on. Which I did. Get my footing kind of underneath me again, you know, and I look at my hand. And, you know, it didn't draw blood, but it's kind of scratched up. It's all red and stuff, and it hurt for a few days. But now none the worse for the wear. And I continue my ascent into the canyon. And then finally, it's really not too terribly far, but it is steep. And I'm huffing and puffing because, you know, I'm older and there's no oxygen here. And there's a little bit of adrenaline with having almost fallen a couple times. And I continue my trek till I'm finally down at the stream. And now I just have to kind of go boulder hop and stuff and start going upstream. Now, this is kind of, in my mind, I have a lot of anticipation here, and this is kind of an intriguing waterfall, and I know I'm getting kind of close. And if not by design, it certainly added to the drama of the fact that as you're hiking up there, you can't see the waterfall, but you start to hear it, because the waterfall is actually around a little bend. And so as you're getting closer, you're hearing it, you know you're getting close, and you're hiking along. And I come to this one little spot, and through this little open hole, I can kind of just see the top of the fall. I know it's right there. And then I turn the corner, and there it is, right in front of me. My goal. I'd made it. And it was worth it. And as I had the opportunity just to sit there, and like I said, I don't fully understand it. Maybe it's partially just me, but there was just something about those narrow walls there and the trees there. Because the waterfall's beautiful, my opinion, you know, it's beautiful and inviting and kind of enticing within itself, but somehow those narrow canyon out there, they just direct all your attention to the waterfall. There's nothing else to see. A lot of times you see waterfall and there's other things you see off out there. But when you're there, everything directs your attention to the waterfall. And as I spent several hours there, part just kind of enjoying the quiet, the peace, and part my photography, because I did go there to take pictures. I'm waiting for the good lighting and stuff and everything, you know. I have found that in a lot of the stress in my life, that my photography is my safety valve. It kind of forces me to look for the beauty around me. I have a job that I see a lot of the worst things in the world. I see death continuously. I deal with the emotions that come with that and just the general cares and concerns of life and stuff. It very easily can just consume you. And I know other detectives and officers that, you know, it has just eaten them up. And so my photography has allowed me to excuse myself, to look for and take a little time for these beautiful things around me. Things that of my own I would never justify, because I have all these things they do. I wouldn't just myself to go just see something, but somehow because I'm going to take a photo of it, I can justify it. And because of that, I spend more time there than I normally. I might have just hiked in, seen it and out, but I took time to watch as the light changed in the canyon, as the clouds went over, to hear the different sounds from the wind going through. And as I sat there is when I contemplated my journey of how I got there. How much it really mirrors my spiritual walk. And maybe many of yours, as I went along, hopefully a few of you have drawn some parallels to our spiritual walk, the things, how we've got to be where we are today. And whether you're here before me in this chapel, whether you're watching through the live streaming, whether later you're listening to this as recording, whether you're baptized or not, unless at some point in your life you learned of something that caught your attention, that intrigued you about the gospel, that intrigued you about Jesus Christ, that intrigued you about the plan of salvation. Unless somewhere in your life something didn't stir within you, a desire to know more of this, to know more of this gospel and to experience it, you wouldn't be here. Somewhere at some point in your life, something touched you and you had a desire to know more of, you had a desire to be a part of, you had a desire to experience for yourself. Something stood out to you. Much like when I first saw that photograph of Mystic Falls. There was something about it. There was something unique. There was something special. There was something about it that attracted me that I wanted to know more. I wanted to experience it for myself. And so it is with our interest here in the gospel. At some point in your life, something sparked you. Perhaps it was decades ago. Maybe it was just recently. But at some point, something has sparked an interest, or you wouldn't be listening to me right now. When I first saw that photograph, I knew that I had to find this. There are very few people in the world where they, whether they believe in a God or not, whether they regularly attend church, they have not had some type of exposure to Christianity. There's very few people, whether they've ever sat in church, whether they believe in a God or not, that have not heard the 23rd Psalm at some point in their life. It's one of those things that just has stood the test of time, and it touches people's heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or maybe Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, I could continue to put all kinds of scriptures up here, but my point is, within the scriptures, we have this little snapshot or photo of something worth having and possessing and that we should be desiring. And at some point, you wouldn't be here unless you were touched by that. It may not have been the scriptures. Perhaps, you know, it was a coworker. Maybe you were born and raised in the church and you've just kind of added to it. But at some point in your life, if you were baptized, something struck you that you wanted more. You wanted to be a part of it. And for those such as myself that were outside the church and were converted, you know, at some point there's something that drew us to be here. There was something that we wanted to know more about. We wanted to ask questions about. We wanted to experience. We wanted to know more of this. But as we are well aware of, and particularly if you're an individual such as me who wasn't born and raised in the church, and that first little interest is sparked, you'll find that there are many Christian churches, many denominations, many churches that use the name Church of Christ. Just like there are many waterfalls in the world. And there's many that are called the Church of Christ. Just like when I tried this research out there, there are several waterfalls that are called Mystic Falls. But they weren't this one. They weren't this fall. There are many copycats out there. And I could have easily ended up at the wrong place if I hadn't taken the time to do my research and to know what this fall looks like. That when someone tried to, like I said, when I first came up to that parking area, there's a waterfall right in front of that parking area. And I saw many photographs that were labeled as Mystic Falls. The people who were there thought that was Mystic Falls. It's a nice waterfall, but it's not this one. And like I said, I don't know whether they ever actually saw a photo of this and they somehow, this is right there in front of them and they just were willing to accept it because it's close enough. Or maybe the only pictures they are seeing were one of those that mistakenly called it Mystic Falls. But if they were trying to find Mystic Falls, they either were deceived by a false photograph Or if they'd seen this, they hadn't paid attention and looked at it, because that fall they're looking at doesn't look anything like this one. And so it is that we're surrounded by many churches trying to imitate this little church of Christ. In 2 Nephi 11:90 says, "And the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and have stumbled because of the greatness, of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches." As I tried to locate this one, I said there are many waterfalls. And in the journey to find the truth of the gospel and the true church, there are many churches out there. Unless you're studious and understand the scriptures and you're looking and you have a clear image in your mind, it's easy to be deceived. I found it as I attempted to locate this one, that there were many photographers who'd been here, and they're trying really hard to keep the location of this one secret. Some because probably because they want to kind of protect its pristine condition and not see it ruined by a lot of traffic in and out. But I think many because they've got this wonderful photo that they want you to experience it through them. They want you to have to go to them for this photo. And so many churches expect their members to look to them for the truth. So we continue in 2 Nephi, that 11th chapter, the next verse, 91. "Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor." There's other photographers out there, and I say photographers because that's kind of what I was looking for, the photography forums and sites that I visit. There may be individuals out there probably that aren't really photography, just hiking stuff, have similar things. But certainly there are those who would have you believe that there's the only way to get to the falls by special permission from the owners of this private property, which they happen to have contact with, and they've got permits and things. But that's the only way you can get to those falls. They advocate that there's this secret way to heaven. Many churches today, that there's a secret way. Dropping down another verse to that 93rd verse there in 2 Nephi, "And there are also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil, for he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and the works of darkness." But the truth of the matter is, there is a way to Mystic Falls that is open to everyone, that's open to the public. But it's more difficult. You have to be prepared. It's not something that you can just blindly stumble along. You have to have preparation in a vehicle that's capable of getting you over that road. You have to be in physical condition to be able, you don't have to have extreme physical condition, but enough that you can hike into this steep, narrow canyon. But there is a way. No permit required. No special permission. But you must be prepared. In the words of our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This word "strait," as you can see, it's spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. That's not the straight like we think is unbending. It's this word "straight" means narrow. There is a narrow gate. It was a narrow road that I had to go in with brush going down either side of my vehicle. It was a narrow path that I had to walk in with pushing brush aside on either side as it kind of grabbed at me. And it was not unbending because it zigzagged all over the place, but it was narrow. And it was demanding. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There's an easier way if you want to violate people's private property or do damage or find special people, get things, to walk up this, just up the creek. It's wide. It widens out as it gets farther downstream, and it keeps getting narrower and narrower as it goes into this canyon. And as I began my descent down in there, there are many places. Not where I just, the one I described where I was starting to fall and had to grab hold of the tree, but in many cases, if I was not holding on to the trees around me and stuff, you know, I would have slipped and fallen. As I said, on three occasions I did slip. One time actually falling to the ground. Two other times I managed to prevent that, but I did nonetheless. I did lose my footing. But I was able to keep going because I was holding on to, I had something to hold on to. Those little trees along there. Probably many of you are thinking, you know, where I'm going to next. When I'm talking about, you know, holding on to something. Where we're talking in 1 Nephi, the second chapter, verses 68 and 69. The vision here, this verse also familiar with, it says, "And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mists of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree." I could read longer in these scriptures, and I have more scriptures, but my point isn't to take a whole lot of time, but I want you to start thinking and maybe use this story of my experience to help kind of draw it in. That, you know, they had to cling to this rod. They were going through these mists of darkness, hard times, same thing. I was climbing that canyon. I'm holding on to these trees so I don't fall, so I don't tumble down into the canyon, so I can keep pressing forward to that mark that I wanted to obtain. And here is the fruit of the tree, to have that eternal life. In my case, the goal was just getting this waterfall, but I had to hold on to something. It demanded more than I physically would be able to accomplish if I didn't have some ropes, which I didn't bring, or those trees to hold on to, things, because it was very steep in places. I needed something I could hold on to keep me firm, so I could complete my journey. It was difficult. Holding on to that tree so I didn't fall hurt, but it was better than falling into the canyon. It was better. As we read in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." I think maybe sometimes we misunderstand this a little bit. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. That doesn't mean that they don't have anything. It says there is a burden. There is a yoke. There is a requirement. There is a bonding to be a part of this walk along this path to reach our destination. These are comparative words, light. Compared to the opposition, it is light. 5 pounds is light compared to 50. There's still a weight, but by comparison, it is light. By comparison, it's easier to carry 5 pounds than 50. The same thing with 25 versus 100. He says there is a burden, there is a requirement, there is something we'll have to endure, something we'll have to get through out there, but with him it's easy. The same thing out there, when I held onto that tree, there was a burden, it's hurting my hand. But that was far easier, that was lighter than if I let go and I go tumbling, however far down I would have gone. Comparatively, that little bit of pain in my hand was preferable. And that's what our Lord is saying here. You know, it's not saying you're not going to have any problems, you're not going to have any burdens, you're not going to have all these issues, but it's easier. It's lighter. It's manageable and it's bearable. That's what he has promised us. There is a correct way to Mystic Falls. It is not the easiest. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is a correct path that leads to eternal life with our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of His Son on our behalf. You have individuals before our Lord here saying, well, we've done all these things and stuff. But he says, I never knew you. There is a true path. A correct path. This morning in our sacrament service, our brother talked about that there is only one way. And that's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one way, and that comes from knowing and studying and being studious in the Scriptures and knowing the truth and having a desire to travel on that path and to know the correct path. Something interesting happened to me while I was in the solitude of that canyon. While I was there, just kind of watching, appreciating, admiring, relaxing, I suddenly heard some noise. Just a bit of a noise. As it drew my attention, I saw six individuals hiking up along the stream towards me. Three couples. Three girls and three guys. And as I had just been contemplating, sitting in that little canyon, contemplating, you know, kind of the parallel of my spiritual walk as I've been relating to you. And hopefully you're getting what my thoughts and my experiences were, you know, the similarities there. And as I sat there, they came up there and they were pleasant, had a few words with them and stuff. And one of the guys kind of asked me, he said, you know, we see, because I had a tripod sitting there, my camera. I wasn't taking any pictures at the moment, but obviously I had a bunch of photography gear in my backpack and stuff and everything and stuff. And he said, you know, this is kind of a really special thing. We don't mess up your photographs out there. You know, is it okay if we go on up ahead of you a little bit closer and stuff? And he says, oh, yeah, I don't mind at all. I mean, I'm not taking pictures right now. Kind of the harsh sun was coming in there. I'm waiting for kind of clouds to go over, get that nice light the photographers love and stuff and everything, get these wonderful photos and stuff. And he says, because my friend here is going to ask his girlfriend to marry him. They'd come to Mystic Falls, and he proposed right there. Kind of a neat little experience, and you know, as I've been thinking along, you know, I couldn't help but think of some of these scriptures. These are a little bit longer, so I'm not going to put them up here. I'm just going to read them along here. But Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that are bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all the things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then saith he unto his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye will find bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And then Matthew 25, another familiar verse of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, and for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There's obviously a lot that may sermons over the content of what that's really saying about the believers, and that's not my point this night, but to point out that we are looking forward and anticipating a marriage. We anticipate being part of that wedding. I realize this experience here isn't exactly the same. It wasn't a wedding, you know, it's a proposal stuff. But I found it kind of intriguing that I was kind of contemplating, you know, my spiritual walk of where I've got to where I'm at in my life today and looking forward to, you know, what's awaiting, comparing, you know, kind of the similarities between this journey to get here to Mystic Falls, you know, starting from, you know, first that initial intrigue when I first heard, experienced something in the gospel and I wanted to know more. And I started down this course and I had to make changes in my life. I had to prepare. I had to make some changes. I had to give up some things. I had to enter some things into my life. I had to prepare, like I had to prepare for this trip. And there have been difficulties along the way. And there's times where, you know, it's been a trial. Many of you are going through trials right now in your life as we continue to go along this course and path. But the point is that because in this particular case, you know, I followed that and I got this fall. And then all of a sudden, here's a couple coming to get married, much like our spiritual walk, that if we're doing those things and walking along the path, you're like the wise of those virgins or the ones who answer the call, that you'll be there when the wedding call goes out. I think it's going to be much like that, because when I started here, I'm just doing the things I needed to do to get to this fall that I desired. I had no idea that there, you know, someone's going to, this wonderful moment where someone's going to propose, and I imagine our walks will be much the same. As long as we're doing the things we need to do, and we're studying the scriptures, we're trying to do right, trying to stay on the path, and doing the things we need to do, we're going to be in the right place at the right time when it happens. And I never would have been at that falls, at Mystic Falls. I never would have known about Mystic Falls if there wasn't someone who went there first before me. If there wasn't someone who went there first before me and was willing to share that experience. In this case, it was through a photograph. But then my research people wrote about it, and I was able to get more information. I was able to learn more. I was able to learn and identify where I was at and what I needed to do to get there. And that's what our Christian walk is. All of us are sitting here because of something people have done in the past to set things up that we have something to rely upon. We have the scriptures of past experiences. We have brothers and sisters in the gospel, testimonies of other people out there, the workings of God in our lives and stuff, to look to strengthen us. Like I said, when I read some of those first accounts of the hike in there, there wasn't any definable trail. They're talking about you just had to kind of work your way through the trees and the brush and stuff. But now, because more people have gone, there's a defined trail. And you really can't get lost because the trail's obvious. And so it is, you know, as we have brothers and sisters and we come together and we strengthen one another, the trail becomes more obvious. And so the responsibility, as we continue this walk and we grow stronger in our faith and we begin to learn more, the responsibility comes to us to share that same thing. As I stand before you and I show you this wonderful waterfall, really what I'm trying to do is to share to you the wonderful walk that I've had in my spiritual walk as I've drawn closer to my Heavenly Father. It is because of the witnesses of others that I stand here today. It was because of those who would share the information because of that waterfall, I was able to find it. It's because of many of you, I look out here, there's many of you that are instrumental in me being here. That when I was asking those questions, you're willing to be examples, answer the questions, and help me see the path. Many of you that helped prepare me for some of the things to expect, like some of those people who wrote this account. I knew that it was going to be steep. I didn't realize how steep. And part of it, honestly, the problem is because this rain is slippery wet. If it had been dry, it probably wouldn't be that challenging. But it was steep and very slippery wet footing. But I came prepared with the things I needed to accomplish it. And I stand here before you. Still things to accomplish in my life, still things to overcome, still demands to be met. But because of your testimonies, because of your strength, because of your help and your support out there, I'm able to stay on this path and keep forward. And I'm hoping each of you have similar testimonies, that you're where you're at because of those who have gone before and those are here with you. Because we have that responsibility. In Luke 24, 46 through 48, it says, And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Our scriptures are from people who are witnesses to these things. In 3 Nephi, chapter 5, verses 60 through 63. And you can find this also in the Bible. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verily I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we are called to be the salt and the light of this world. Salt and light change things. There's many benefits to salt, from a disinfectant to just necessary for life, as well as, you know, light so that we can see. It takes away the darkness. But ultimately, I mean, there's a whole kind of, we've had many sermons, I've even preached a few about the significance of that. My point tonight is that we're called to make a difference, to make an impact, to blaze a path for others to follow. Mystic Falls isn't the biggest waterfall. It's not the tallest, not the widest. It doesn't have the most volume of water coming over it. But it intrigued and enticed me. And our little Church of Christ isn't the largest church. It isn't the grandest with the elaborate buildings. And yet I'm here because there was something special that intrigued me and drew me towards it. As I speak before you, each of you are on a different stage in this journey. Maybe some of you are just first hearing and learning, like when I first saw that photograph, and there's something intriguing. Maybe some of you are beginning to study and want to know more as I research and try to find out more about this fall. Maybe you're in a stage where you're beginning to prepare because you've decided to commit yourself that you want to start on this journey. Maybe some of you are driving down that rocky road. Maybe some of you are starting the descent into the canyon. But I hope, and it's my prayer, that each and every one of us get to experience that moment when you turn the bend and you see your eternal reward, what it's all been for. That glorious moment. As I was rounding that bend and I saw that waterfall in front of me, so I hope in our spiritual walk as we continue, one foot in front of the other, trying to stay on that path, strengthening one another, relying upon one another, witnessing to each other, that each of us will have that moment in our life where finally, as we lay down this mortal existence and we can see that grand image of God's eternal kingdom. I thought about trying to, you know, find a picture because no one knows what it's like. There's many artists that try to give a rendition, but, you know, each of us have our own picture of what it's going to be, and I don't want to take away from that. We each have our own expectation. But what I can promise is it's grand and it exceeds any of your expectations. It exceeds the ability of anyone to write about it, to describe it, to photograph it. But as I rounded that bend and I saw that waterfall, it was worth the journey. And it's my prayer that each of us get to experience that when we get to go before our Heavenly Father in His eternal kingdom. And all the trials, the cares, concerns, all the times we've slipped and fallen, all the times that we've hurt our hands, stubbed our knees, all the tears we have shed, all the frustration of trying to stay on the path, all the times that we considered maybe turning back but forced ourselves to keep trudging forward, it's all suddenly worth it. it's all worth it. I hope that my little feeble attempt at trying to draw from a experience of mine to a spiritual parallel in this little analogy was maybe of some benefit to you. But know this. Wherever you are at this moment in your life, whatever you're encountering, whatever you're enduring, whatever you're going through, the journey has a purpose. And that is to get you to the reward. Is to get you around that last bend and to be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good, loyal, faithful servant." Thank you.